So how many of you attended the balloon fiesta in Albuquerque this week? Any hands? Okay, we got one, two, three, four. I went. And how many of you have ever attended ever the balloon? Okay, there's a whole lot more hands. Excellent. Okay, who has never been to the Albuquerque balloon fiesta? Okay, I'm going to know for you that that is in your upcoming next year, maybe. It is something magical. I didn't get up as early this year, which was fine because I just needed to be close enough, and it's magical for me. How many of you have been in a hot air balloon ride? Oh, wow. That's impressive. So awesome. I have yet to do such. And I also know there will be a day where I will have that opportunity. In the meanwhile, I can use my imagination to be stepping into this basket with this humongous, and I'm going to have a special shape one, right? A Yoda or something wonderful above me. And the whooshing sound of the fire, putting the heat in there. And starting to lift off the ground, starting to lift up. And now I'm looking and I'm above the people's heads and above the cars and above the trees. And imagine what a view it is to be floating in this hot air balloon. To be floating above all of the things in the world and getting away from that which is down here on the ground. That song, Trust the Wind, the words. There's a voice silently whispering inside my head, telling me it's going to be all right. Let yourself be led where you are led. Don't hold back. Don't put up a fight. It tells me, trust the wind. Breathe the air. There's a place you're meant to be. And you're already there. Open up your heart and let life in. Know that you can always trust the wind. That word trust is the word that really sticks out a lot for me. And it fits for today's talk, which is the greater view. Because it's when we rise up in the balloon and that higher power can see more than I can see on my limited viewpoint down on the ground. We are doing a series of talks right now in our Adventures in Faith on the Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown, and it is our guide to wholehearted living. And she talks about wholehearted living as that experience of unconditional love, authenticity, being who we came here to be, and not anything less than. So we've already spoke, and she has 10 guideposts that we're looking at as to how to live the wholehearted life. The first one was to let go of what people think. Okay? Let go of what people think and be your authentic self. The second guidepost is to let go of perfectionism. None of you have that, right? Right. Uh-huh. And to have more self-compassion. That is so important because we can have an inner critic beating ourselves up. The third one was to cultivate our resilience. When life is hard, how do you bounce back? And so she gives tips on how to do that and to let go of the numbing behaviors. I have a confession to make. I only wanted to do numbing behaviors after I did that talk. I'm so glad that I'm like, can I have another subject? So this week it's about uncertainty, which you have not even seen any of that uncertainty in today's service. So we're moving on. And if you want to hear any of these talks, they are on the website. So you can go back. And if you missed them, you can go, what was the one on resilience or the authenticity or self-compassion? So today we're going to look at two. Number four guidepost is cultivating joy and gratitude, letting go of scarcity, because you have to let go of something always, because hang on to things, scarcity and the fear of dark. And guidepost 5, which is cultivating intuition and trusting faith. So we're going to let go of our need for certainty. You know, we'll talk about more of that uncertainty and certainty part. So how many of you would love to experience more divine guidance in your life? I see everybody's hand. Yeah. So what is divine guidance anyway? Because we would love to have more divine guidance. So I define it as it's our belief that there is a divine intelligence, that there is an intelligence, and it's everywhere in everything. There is a divine knowingness. In the Catholic and Christian traditions, they speak of God being all-knowing. I like to say all-knowingness. There is something that is greater than my limited perception. It is the divine that has a bigger viewpoint of life, that can see beyond the limitations that I have in my own life. It is that power that is within us, within each and every one of us, that is got more wisdom. And I want to learn how to tap into this. So there is a couple of my books. Actually, I'm surprised I have a workshop called The Still Small Voice. One of the books that I've studied from is called Writing Down Your Soul, How to Activate and Listen to the Extraordinary Voice Within by Janet Connor. Janet says, there is a voice inside of you. There's a voice inside every one of us. Whether you hear it or not, the voice is there. Whether you acknowledge it or not, the voice is there. Whether you ask it for help and guidance or ignore its guidance, the voice is still there, waiting. It is waiting for you to stop, if just for a moment, and listen. The voice is always there, guiding you, encouraging you, and loving you. I'll let you on a sweet little secret. Connecting with that voice is easy. And why shouldn't it be? The voice isn't trying to hide from you. It is seeking you. It knows what you need, and it longs to give it to you. So it stays close at hand, in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. Donald Neil Walsh, Conversations with God, says, in his conversation, God replied, I'm always speaking, says God, but who is listening? Right? So there is this voice inside of our heads, and it, or inside of us, we have a still small voice. We all have it. Question is, why am I not accessing it more? Answer, one of the answers is, the other voices, you know which ones. You all have voices in your head. I will share with you what Echo Bodine of A Still Small Voice, A Psychic's Guide to Awakening Intuition, says about the other voices. She says, the trouble is most of us have so many different voices inside that it's hard to know which one is God's. After the course of our lives, we internalize the voices of so many others, parents, siblings, friends, our inner child. There are also the voices from society, church, our teachers, the government, our bosses, the neighbors, our significant other, that tell us what to do in any given moment. And then, if that's not enough, we have the internalized voices of the various emotions that we experience, the voice of fear, anger, sadness, and so on. All of these voices can mask what the still small voice is trying to say to us. And then there is the most dominant voice of all, the voice of reason, logic, and common sense and practicality. None of you have any of that, right? We're trained in that. All of these voices chatter away inside of us throughout the day, and they can cause an awful lot of static and confusion. I actually think Brené Brown is pretty much subject to those other voices, especially the intellect, because Brené Brown is a researcher. And researchers are all about the things called logic and reason. And she even admits in her book that to study intuition and faith, how do you measure intuition and faith? So she struggles with that quite a bit. And I think she was still struggling with it when she was writing the book. However, there was a few things that I liked that she said. And one of the things was, she has two ideas about what stops us from connecting with the still small voice, which is also known as intuition, our higher power, God self, Holy Spirit, whatever name that part of us is, that higher viewpoint that we want to tap into. So besides the voices in our head, she says another thing that blocks us. You want to know what it is? Okay, I'll tell you later. No. It's the need for certainty, okay? Because we like to know things. We feel more secure and in control and safe when I know things. And there's a vulnerability that comes with that uncertainty. But we have this tendency to want to be sure of things. Anyone relate? Yeah, right? Heck yeah. You're in a human form. Most likely it's going to be relatable. The second thing she says, besides the need for uncertainty, we don't trust. We don't trust our instinct, our intuition. As children, we probably knew things and said things, and then we got told by the voice of reason, by our parents and well-meaning others, don't say that. So we have learned not to trust our intuition. Intuition and listening to the still small voice can be learned and practiced. So back to divine guidance. Divine guidance, how many of you believe in divine guidance? Okay, most of us do. See, here's the thing. How do you access that divine guidance? Well, I went back into my file that says divine guidance in the file cabinet. And lo and behold, my very first talk here in October, the fourth weekend in October of 2021, I talked about divine guidance and how to access it. And it was about how do you access it is the BLT sandwich. You remember? Oh, good. Debbie remembers. BLT. First of all, in order to access your divine guidance and your intuition, you have to believe that it even is there. If you don't believe it's there, guess what? It's not, because it's done unto us as we believe. So you have to believe that there is actually a voice within that you can access. The L stands for listen. Listen to that voice. Now, how do you get through all the other voices? Here's, and see, Brené Brown, she gives information, but she doesn't give me a tool. And I like tools. I like practicality. How can I apply what is being said? So you're going to get extra things by coming to these Sunday talks instead of just reading the book or being in a group. So listen. How you can listen. You can write to God, by the way. Donald Neil Walsh does it. Any one of us. So this is your demonstration. You can say, dear higher power, God self, whatever name it is that you call intuition. I hear that I hear that you want to give me answers and I am ready to hear them. Now I have three template sentences that are very helpful, been helpful for me. The first one is, what is it I need to know about, you fill in the blank. What is it I need to know about this? And then you add on that I don't already know. That I don't already know. Because I don't know about you, but we know a lot, right? But I want to know, what is it I don't know? So I ask Spirit, what is it I need to know about this that I don't already know? You can also add, what is it that I need to do about this or with this that I'm not already doing? And the third one is, what is it I need to be with this that I'm not already being? And then you say, I look forward to your answers. Thank you so much, God Self. Put the pen down, close your eyes, take a breath, let it go. Another breath. And then you write dear and your name. So it's, for me, it's dear Liz. I'm so glad you asked me these questions. I've been waiting because I have answers and I would love to tell you what you need to know about such and such is, and see what comes out of your pen. Sometimes you'll say things that you already know, but I pretty much every time I've done this, something comes out of my pen that I go, oh my God. And God goes, yeah, right? Because it's my higher self. And so it is here for us, that still small voice. And we can access it by listening. That's the B, the L in the BLT. Next, the T stands for trust. Trust the wind. Trust the divine. Trust the higher power, the higher mind that sees and knows more. And it isn't outside of us. It's inside of us. We want to access the divine within. So Brené Brown talks about, in this chapter, she gives her own, based on her research, definition of intuition. And I think she's still working on her definition. She basically says, intuition isn't a single way of knowing, because we can get messages from anything, anywhere, if we're paying attention. It's our ability, she says, to hold space for uncertainty. And then she goes on with more words that I don't need to give you, because I think I want to just get to the core. Then she talks, another part of this is cultivating our intuition. But then she says, trusting faith. I'm really confused with the words trusting faith. Can you have untrusting faith? Like I said, I think she was still working with this. Me, faith and trust are very similar. Faith is basically the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It has a spiritual context. It's a noun. The word trust is both. Trust is more like a conviction and a reliance upon. And for me, trust can be a noun. And it can be a verb, right? I have trust that it's all going to work out. Or I'm trusting that it's going to work out. So I have talked about trust with you before. And I have an acronym that Spirit gave me the second I asked the question, the acronym. What is the acronym for trust? You know what it is, Karen? She said, no. Some of you might. It is... Oh my goodness, he's got it. He picked up his book. So it's to rely upon Spirit totally. Let's say that. To rely upon Spirit totally. I was a little irritated. I was like, I didn't even get to figure that out. Spirit goes, no, that's an upload. See, it's not a download. It's coming from the divine within me. I have another minister friend, Reverend Angelica Taggart, she says, her acronym is totally relying upon Spirit's timing. So I'm like, well, two hands, they go together. So I gave you an idea, a definitions of what you could say what trust is. And how do you bring it into your life? Well, for me, affirmations, saying something. So, and the thing about trust, by the way, we have a very uncertain world. And how do you not get nervous around the uncertainty? You trust. See, when I'm trusting, I'm not in fear. When I'm in fear, I'm not trusting. So anytime I get anxious, I have two statements that Spirit gave me. First one is, God is my source in who I am trusting. The second one, God is my source in whom I do trust. The first one is, God is my source in who I am trusting, action. God is my source in whom I do trust, fact. I say that enough times, I settle down. The fear just goes, okay. So we're going to have you repeat this. First of all, let's say, God is my source in who I am trusting. Go ahead. God is my source in whom I am trusting. God is my source in whom I do trust. Do trust. So you say that again, I'm giving you tools. We need a toolkit to navigate the craziness of life. I do. And the question is, do you use your tools in your toolkit? So Brené Brown goes all into the idea of trust and the intuition and how to let go of your uncertainty. One of my favorite authors is Deepak Chopra. Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. Law number 6, he talks about uncertainty. I love this, otherwise I wouldn't share it with you. But he says, the search for security is an illusion. In ancient wisdom traditions, the solution to this whole dilemma lies in the wisdom of insecurity or the wisdom of uncertainty. This means that the search for security and certainty is actually an attachment to the known. And what's the known? It's our past. The known is nothing other than the prison of past conditioning. There is no evolution in that. Absolutely none at all. And where there is no evolution, there is decay, stagnation, and disorder. Uncertainty, on the other hand, is the fertile ground of the field of all possibilities. Uncertainty means you step into the unknown every moment. It is the place where it's always fresh and always new because it's unknown. Without uncertainty and the unknown, life is just a stale repetition of outworn memories. What? I'm like, and you become the victim of the past, and your tormentor today is your self left over from yesterday. I'm like, what? I mean, does that like just, it's a mic drop thing. I'm going to say this again. Without uncertainty and the unknown, life is just a stale repetition of outworn memories. You become the victim of the past, and your tormentor today is yourself left over from yesterday. What? Like, this is something to chew on, okay? He goes on to say, relinquish your attachment to the known. Step into the unknown, and you will step into the field of all possibilities. In your willingness to step into the unknown, you have the wisdom of uncertainty factored in. This means in every moment of your life, you will have excitement, adventure, mystery. You will experience the fun of life, the magic, the celebration, the exhilaration, and the exaltation of your spirit. Yes! And I wrote the word yes in there. Every day you can look for the excitement of what might occur in the field of all possibilities. See, we like certainty because it feels safe and secure and in control. But uncertainty is a place where it's fun. And yeah, it might be scary because our minds are set up for survival. Our minds want the familiar, what is known. The unknown is scary because it's here to protect us. The rational mind, one of my favorite quotes by Albert Einstein, says the intuitive mind is the gift. The rational mind is the servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift. It's intuition. Intuition is the God self wanting to thrive, not just survive. So the mind, the rational mind, is here to serve the heart of the intuitive self. So we are stepping into the unknown. And how we do that, you might go, well, how do you step into that? The word is detachment. The sixth spiritual law of success is the law of detachment. Detach from the things that you know, or the, I want that outcome. How about opening up? And how do you do detachment? Again, I'm a how-to person. For me, when I'm looking forward to something, you may be looking for forward to something. And here's the thing that Spirit gives me. If it doesn't happen, how are you going to be? How are you going to be? So you can say, I'm excited, I'm going to go here, because you can have an intention with detachment. That means that when I'm excited about something, this is happening. And if it doesn't, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. You know, we can't die necessarily. Really, I mean, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to be disappointed. I used to be a pessimist. And actually, I'm going to say that trust, when we are doing the believing and listening and trusting, the universe is here for us, not against us. It's for us, supporting us. We can tap into it. When I'm trusting, I have more gratitude. I'm more in gratitude when I'm trusting, which is taking us back to guidepost number 4, which is cultivating gratitude and joy and letting go. What are we letting go of? Oh, scarcity. Yeah, that thing. And fear of the dark. So the gratitude, because I'm trusting the universe, she talks about gratitude is not just an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude is an action. It's an activity, not just to feel it. Have a gratitude journal. Say, I'm so happy and grateful now that the talk is over and I can go have, go to the restroom. You know, you can say the words, right? You actually practice gratitude. She talks a lot about the difference between happiness and joy. And I'm not going to get into all of that. Joy is basically an internal sense of good and happiness, and it's long-lasting. Happiness is that temporary. You get something and you're happy, but then it goes with the outer circumstance. So she talks about this gratitude and joy. She said, what gets in the way of our gratitude and joy? Coming back to, have you ever felt really happy about something and then you get scared because it might go away? Okay, we do. I was a pessimist. I did not want to be disappointed. So I figured, well, it's okay if it doesn't work out, which is somewhat pessimistic, but it's also reality. How many of you have heard the statement, and used it, this too shall pass when there's a bad thing happening in life, challenging? Well, here's the truth. Good stuff will pass too. It all passes. Life is temporary, highs and lows. And however, Brené Brown talks about how she'd look at her kids and she'd feel so much joy. And then she would imagine something terrible happening to her. And she thought she was really crazy, and maybe she is, but she said, other parents did the same thing. We have a tendency to want to tone down our happies. I don't know about you, but the statement, what goes up must come down. I don't want to get too high because then I'll end up, it'll go away and then I'll be low. Well, I'm not going to die of disappointment or sadness. I might feel like I'm dying, but you don't die from low vibrational feelings. The thing is to feel all of it, the highs and the lows. If you don't feel the highs because you don't want to feel the lows, you're diminishing your life energy, your purpose. It's all to be felt and experienced. The second way, besides wanting to keep ourselves safe and secure, is the idea of scarcity. Our grandparents went probably through the Great Depression, didn't have enough food, didn't have enough money. And so it is part of our thinking. And we live in a world of marketing and advertising saying, you know, you're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not rich enough. Buy this, buy that, take this, take that, and you will be better. You will be more. Instead of the, well, I'm not really good enough. We have that not enough mindset. And it isn't true. There is more than enough. You ever go in a grocery store? Yeah, we all do. Is there more than enough food there? And there's people on the street that are hungry. There is something wrong with this picture. There is more than enough. Always has been and always will be. Brené Brown talks about scarcity. And on the little pledge card, there is a quote that I'm going to share, and then I'm going to close it up. Oh, would it be good if I had the other book? Yeah. She talks about scarcity. And she says, see, we have scarcity. It's a mindset. And we can have a sufficiency, more than enough mindset. She says, we each have the choice in any setting to step back and let go of the mindset of scarcity. Once we let go of scarcity, the mindset, we discover the truth of sufficiency, more than enough. It's an experience, a context that we generate. It's a declaration and a knowing that there is enough. We are enough. What you can do is, when you're doing the God is my source and who I am trusting, God is my source and whom I do trust, you can also say, and there's more than enough, and I'm more than enough. It's a declaration. It's a knowing. It's what we have in here. It's going to outpicture. It's what we teach. She says, sufficiency resides in each one of us, and we can call it forward. Sufficiency is a consciousness, an intention and attention, intentional choosing of the way that we think about our circumstances. We can think about our circumstances from a limited point of view down on the ground, or we can rise up in the balloon, trust the wind, trust the divine, see the bigger picture. It's a perception. Everything is a perception. And she finishes with the idea that gratitude, not just for the big things, but for the ordinary. Everything is the divine, and to see it with the eyes of a child, the wonder. In completion, she says, the men and women who experience the most loss said that the memories that they held most sacred were the ordinary everyday moments. Their most precious memories were forged from a collection of ordinary moments, and the hope for others is that they would stop long enough to be grateful for the little moments, ordinary. Marianne Williamson says, joy is what happens to us when we allow ourselves to recognize how good things really are. Everything is good if we see it that way. We have the eyes to see from up high, see the good. Know that everything is a miracle. Everything is holy. And so it is.